Hey, it's John Moe, and we have a very fun and sometimes pretty strange wits this week. Strange in a good way. Our guests include one of the top comedians in the world today, Paul F. Tompkins. He's also an actor and performs monologues of one-star Amazon.com reviews of classical literature, like Huckleberry Finn.
My opinion, this book was very boring. I say this because it went at a slow rate.
We're also joined by the much-acclaimed veteran rock band Yo La Tengo. Makes for a pretty wild show. Really, we might do anything this week.
You want to shoot blow darts at other passengers? Drop a rare bird in a volcano just to see what happens?
Well, that is your prerogative, Bobby Brown.
All this plus pop song correspondences, a journey through the fake history of rock, and more. On Wits, recorded live at the Fitzgerald Theater, and it's coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. Here at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, our wonderful band is with us, John Munson and the Witnesses. Comedian Paul F. Tompkins is on our show this week. We're also joined this week by Yo La Tengo, a band that improbably has lasted many, many years and gets along pretty well and has enjoyed success. That is weird. Know that. See, I've been in bands too. I sang. Not well, but often and loud. At some point in my life, I realized that you don't actually have to be good. There's no state certification process for bands, no board exams. You just show up. It's like being a life coach. I think that everyone should be in a band at least once in their life. And if you can't find a band, the government should assign you one. That's why we pay taxes. And I don't even think it should be optional either. It should be like the draft. You have to serve in a band. And then people will have more fun and be more creative. And real musicians won't think that they're anything special. So we all win. Oh, you're in a band? So's my mom. But here's the thing about being in a band. Contrary to what you might think, and contrary to why you do it in the first place, it's not cool at all. And you realize this pretty quickly. Let me break it down. First, you get this idea, either by yourself or with your idiot friends, that performing for strangers is a great way to share your awesome thoughts and/or abilities. It's a way of saying, I'm insecure, or I'm kidding myself. Uncool. Then you try to create songs with other people, which is like everyone's brains French kissing each other, and they all have terrible breath. Eventually, you'll hate each other, you'll always end up hating each other. And then you perform, often to tiny crowds or no crowds or backs of bartenders. The audience, on the other hand, they get to sit, have drinks, and be quiet, like cool people actually do. And sure, good bands then get love from fans, but almost no bands are good. It's true. Look at the numbers. If you start a band, you'll be way more like my bands than like The Witnesses or Yo La Tengo. And who are my bands? Exactly. Later, when the show's over, you're carrying amps or drums into someone's car and then hauling those things to some practice space or basement at 1 a.m. You ever see James Dean or Frank Sinatra lifting a 150-pound bass amp up a flight of stairs? No, not cool. But it's fun. God, it's fun. Even if there's almost no smiling involved, it's fun. Fun coalesces and emerges as cool burns away, and fun is the delicious, sweet residue left behind when cool is finally gone. Lap that up, listeners, and enjoy the show. He's a comedian, an actor, the host of Speakeasy, an interview program online, as well as the host of the Dead Authors podcast and the Pod F Tomcast. He is Paul F. Tompkins. Paul, welcome back to Wits.
John, thank you.
I was going through your IMDb page, which is
the
like
Internet Movie Database.
The Internet Movie Database. And there were plenty of things that I knew you from. I knew you from Best Week Ever and various shows you've done.
Oh, thank you.
And a few things that that maybe rang distant bells, but I wanted to get a little update on. I wonder if you could fill me in on behind the scenes on some of these projects.
Absolutely.
The last time you were on the show, we talked at length about your appearance in There Will Be Blood.
That's right.
As a person trying to get Daniel Day-Lewis to come back to a meeting.
I beg your pardon. The character's name was Prescott.
Prescott, excuse me. I was...
If you were truly looking at the Internet Movie Database...
I was instead describing the entire arc of the character.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But you also appeared in Magnolia.
Yes, I did. Well, you can hear my voice still.
Okay.
I was filmed, but I was visually cut out of the film.
What do we hear you say?
You hear me answer a telephone. You hear me tell another one of the major characters, who you can see on screen, that my mother had cancer. And that's it.
Now, does P.T. Anderson say, I need somebody to talk about cancer, and years from now I'm going to need somebody to play Prescott to try to get Daniel Day-Lewis to come back to a meeting. I better get a comedian.
Yes.
Why? Why you?
I think that there's something about me that really screams disembodied voice.
Futility?
And failure at keeping meetings on track.
Speaking of screaming, I have to relate that to the feeling I got when I first heard the concept of this next movie, which is Jack Frost.
Oh, yes.
Now, this is Michael Keaton, dead dad becomes snowman?
That's right. Michael Keaton is a...
Let's make that film, yeah. Someone said.
He is a... Michael Keaton portrays the titular character, Jack Frost. Is that his name when he becomes a snowman? No. From when he's a flesh and blood human being, his name is Jack Frost. He is a bar bluesman. Him and his band of...
Just slightly more believable than him being a snowman.
Oh, yeah. They're on the road all the time, so he's not the greatest dad.
Sure.
Well, then getting in a horrible car accident sure fixes that, because... He is then reincarnated as an anthropomorphic snowman, which all would have been fine, I swear to God, if they hadn't given the snowman eyebrows. That was the killing blow to this concept. That made it disturbing.
That's what pushed it over the edge.
It pushed it over the edge.
Really, it was doing pretty well.
I think it would have been considered borderline cute without the eyebrows.
What did you play in Jack Frost?
Oh, I played... drunk in audience.
A lot of your understudies here at the Fitzgerald Theater.
That's right. There was an extended bit with me and Jim Turner. We were playing these two drunks in the audience, so we had this bit that we were trying to work out with Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton didn't seem to take a shine to this bit. And so we tried it a couple times, and then what you see in the movie, there's no mention of the bit. They finish a song. The Jack Frost band finishes a song, and then there's a cut to the audience, wide shot of the audience, and you can see my head, like literally just my head in the center of all these people, and I say, and I can remember my dialogue, I say, yeah!
Wow. And being a fan of sketch comedy, I thought I would remember this project more than I do. Kelsey Grammer presents The Sketch Show.
That's right. That's right. Kelsey Grammer presents The Sketch Show.
Because when you think Kelsey Grammer, sketch comedy comes to mind.
That's right. Monty Python, SCTV, Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer. Kids in the Hall. Was
Kelsey Grammer again.
Was Kelsey Grammer in the Hall. Tim and Kelsey Grammer's awesome show, Great
That's
Job.
Right.
Was Kelsey Grammer in all the sketches?
No. Kelsey Grammer would be in the... in these sort of wraparound sketches, he'd be in a sketch at the beginning and a sketch at the end. And it was his production company that produced this sketch show.
What was Kelsey Grammer doing with the rest of his time?
Oh, he was living his Kelsey Grammer life.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere else. Falling off stages, I'm sure. It was his production company that produced this adaptation of a British sketch show called The Sketch Show. In England, it did not need any Kelsey Grammer to present it. It was self-presenting. So we were actually using the scripts that they used in the original show, and then we shot it in London. Me and the rest of the American cast went over to London and shot this sketch show in front of a British audience for American television. Everything
what could
about
possibly
it was,
go wrong?
Yes, it was everything about it was confusing, and the most asked question, I think, during the 2 month shoot was, why are we doing this again? And so Kelsey, Mr. Grammer, he was not there with us in London, in freezing cold London. He was in
Living
Malibu.
Living his Kelsey Grammer life.
Just flipping some cars. And and then the day after we got back from London, we flew back from London, it's a long flight. We had to get up at 6 the next morning to go shoot sketches with Kelsey, some of which we had already shot because he hadn't decided which ones he wanted to be in yet. So, and no one seemed to put a clock on that. Hey, maybe decide before these tired people come home. So we shot some sketches with Kelsey, and then the show aired, I think 3 times.
Yeah. It didn't. Somehow it didn't last.
No, even with the presentation of Kelsey Grammer.
Thanks for exploring your IMDb page with us. Paul F. Tompkins, everybody. Yola Tango is a band that has been playing music since 1984 to widespread acclaim. Their latest album is Fade. Here are Ira Kaplan, James McNew, and Georgia Hubley, Yola Tango.
For the weakest part,
Yo La Tengo with John Munson and the Witnesses. More comedy with Paul F. Tompkins and music from Yo La Tengo coming up, and a journey through the dark passages of pretend rock history. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with musical group Yo La Tengo and comedian Paul F. Tompkins. Now, Paul.
Yes, John.
We've asked you to prepare some monologues for us this week. Take text, imbue it with character, make the words a recipe for a human being, as an actor does. For the source material, we have asked you to use one-star reviews from Amazon.com of what are universally accepted to be classic books and albums. What will you be presenting us with first?
First, a triptych of reviews. Three. The novel Moby Dick by Herman Melville. Review number one. The worst classic novel I ever read. I thought this book dragged on and on, was loaded with tedious detail, and was a waste of time. If it had been condensed into three short chapters, it would have been much better. If you want to read a good novel, this isn't it. I would give it 0 stars if I could. Review the second. Have heard for years that Moby Dick is a great American classic. Decided to try to read it. Very disappointed. If you want to read lots of meaningless whale trivia, read the book. If you want to read a good book, stay as far as you can from this book.
Little switcheroo at the end. They both use the old, you want to read it, it seems like they're going to recommend a book.
If you want to read a good book, read Moby Dick. Yeah. But no, they turn.
They cannot think of a single other book.
Yeah.
Final review of Moby Dick was written in the style I like to call typing Hulk. This means no punctuation and no capitalization.
I had to read this book for school. It's boring. Don't read. Why is this so famous? Can't even understand writing. Words too big. I hate it. Not even interesting. They just sit on a boat, then get killed by a whale. Stupid captain knew they were gonna die.
Paul F. Tompkins, ladies and gentlemen. And now, everyone, please put your hands together for Yo La Tengo. Wait, no, stop. Wait, guys, stop. Sorry. Ira, guys, I'm really sorry. Another band is on the stage trying to play at the same time.
Yes, excuse you very much.
I'm sorry, Yo La Tengo is about
to... Oh, Yo La Tengo. I didn't even see them there. Hello, Ira.
Hello, Raul.
Ira, you know these people?
Yes, John, we do. We all do. They're Si Se Tango, our enemy band.
Your enemy band?
Enemy band!
Every band has a designated enemy band.
See, enemy band!
So, the Beatles.
Rolling Stones.
Boys to Men.
Color Me Bad.
Bob Dylan.
Shakira.
It is the destiny of Sisa Tango to follow Yola Tango around the world. Every musician is emblazoned with a mystical birthmark as they leave their mother's womb. When you find the musician with an identical birthmark, your birthmark burns, and then you know you found your enemy.
So you guys all have...
centaurs on our lower backs. The first time I felt mine burn, I was driving to a tango festival in Hoboken. I heard a sound I thought would never achieve top 40 success, but would be adored by critics everywhere. Yola Tango.
Raul, we've been over this thousands of times. Yola Tango, not tango. We don't play tango. The name of your band is Yes They Tango. It's for people dancing the tango.
I know what my band name means. Amigos, let us play. Let us begin this fighting of the mouths. I declare a song off.
A song off? Well, okay, we haven't done that before, but let's, I suppose we have to. Well, who starts?
We start, it's a tango. Now, our most popular song, Ensalada de Tango, the tango salad.
First you chop the lettuce with your fiery eyes, then you squash your tomatoes with your fiery thighs. What will be the croutons? A garlic surprise as we dance the tango salad.
Wow. That's quite a song from Sisa Tango. Over to you, Yola Tango.
What's the matter? Why don't you answer? What's the matter with me? Is it so hard to be free and easy? I disappear completely. Hardly as long as glad.
Oh. See, now... I could listen to that all day. That's very good
oh,
music.
Oh, I feel as if I have listened to it all day.
Well, Sisa Tango, why don't you try one more time?
Did you mean bring it home, John Mo?
I bring it on, yes, please.
Si.
Please.
Tango salad, I am eating from your bowl. Tango salad comes with side of roll.
Big finish! We're eating and we're dancing and it's crunching and we're prancing when we're dancing the tango salad!
Okay,
Gracias.
I'm sorry, I'm calling this one. Raul, that's a terrible song.
I know. And it only gets worse as the song continues.
And it's 45 minutes long.
If we skip the intermission.
I'm sorry, Raul. Yola Tango has won.
Si, si. I have disgraced my family. Today, I will forever put away my instruments and never again create music.
I understand.
Wait. Raul, don't give up. Making music is still a beautiful thing.
Do you think my music is beautiful?
Well, that's not what I said.
I knew it! I will return the enemy Ira. Revenge, like the tango salad itself, is a dish best served cold.
That doesn't make sense, Raul.
You don't make sense, Ira! Zing! I win the battle of the zingers!
But Ira, I don't think that was a really good...
John, let him go. It's better this way.
Oh, thank you very much. Yola Tango and the departed Sisa Tango. Paul F. Tompkins as Raul Fuego, the witnesses as Sisa Tango. Yola Tango, Georgia Hubley, James McNew, Ira Kaplan. Welcome to WITS.
Thanks.
Could you fill people in on the covers project that you do for the radio station WFMU in New Jersey, how that works?
We're honored to practice about 2 miles from WFMU's world headquarters, and this is a
public radio station.
They're not funded. There's no underwriting. I mean, they are
community
public. Yeah. And so we have a lot of connections to the station, and we volunteered to go on the air, and people who made donations would get to request a song, and we would attempt to play it. If you've never tried that, is impossible.
What were some of the most challenging songs you've had?
I mean, challenging is really a construct at that point. They're all pretty easy if you just give yourself over to the fact that it's going to be maybe the worst thing you've ever done in your life. It's like, yeah, you know, bring it, whatever you got. Oh.
It becomes a thing where, like, you know, if you mess up the beginning of Roundabout, you know, that seems kind of funny. But if you mess up Wouldn't It Be Nice, maybe not quite as
funny. Maybe not as funny, yeah. And then the spinning wheel that is at some of your shows, tell us a little bit of how that works.
That was a performance we did here in the Twin Cities at your 400 bar. And yes, we would play the Wheel of Fortune theme. If anybody, any rights holders to that song are in the audience, I'm pretty sure we cleared them.
Sajak watches us like a hawk, man.
Yeah. And would bring up somebody from the audience to spin the wheel, but it wasn't songs, it was actually formats. We had an item on the wheel called sitcom theater, in which we either promised or threatened to perform an entire sitcom.
But not music at all, just acting.
That's right. In Chicago on this tour, it came up, Spinner's Choice, and the spinner chose sitcom theater. So we performed the entirety of the Seinfeld Chinese restaurant episode.
Wait, who was who? Were you Jerry, Ira?
I was, in fact, Jerry.
Okay.
I was George.
And then Georgia was Elaine.
Most people were laughing and enjoying it, except there was somebody who, right from the beginning, goes, this is my worst nightmare, like, very prescient. By the end of it, I would say we were doing it in a venue that held about 800 people, I think. And it felt like 2,500 people were clapping and stomping, going, music, music, music. It was.
And you're just plowing ahead with Seinfeld.
They really liked our music.
It was so much fun.
Yola Tango, thank you so much for being with us. We'll hear more from Yola Tango a little bit later in the show. Once again, Amazon Review Theater. 1-star reviews from Amazon.com, dramatically interpreted by Paul F. Tompkins.
Jane Eyre.
Charlotte Bronte is too loquacious. Jane Eyre is a perfect example of someone with too many things to say. What could be said in 2 pages is instead said in 5 to 10. The book's length could be cut in half at least. All the extra language creates a boring atmosphere that puts me to sleep. If someone has a point they want to get across, they should just spit it out.
The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. In my opinion, this book was very boring. I say this because it went at a slow rate. There wasn't any exciting parts for me. It was plain boring, but it is worth reading because you understand this person's life. But if you are like me, you'll think it is boring. and don't want to read it anymore. But you have to continue and learn something. My opinion, buy it to learn the person's detailed life. But don't be surprised if it is boring.
Paul F. Tompkins. More with Paul F. Tompkins and rock and roll group Yo La Tengo in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with musical group Yo La Tengo and comedian Paul F. Tompkins. Pop song correspondences. Questions from the town that is being told the boys are back in town.
Guess who just got back today?
Who?
The wild-eyed boys that have been away.
Why didn't you give us a chance to guess?
How many boys are you talking about?
Why did the boys leave town in the first place?
Where have they been?
How old are these boys?
Is this a huge mob of boy toddlers?
Haven't changed that much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy.
Wait, are these boys or are they crazy cats?
They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Why did you tell them where we lived?
You know, it's true. We rigged up a series of speakers that blast ear-splitting noise at random times, all right near where the old men live. It does drive them crazy.
Why did you tell the boys?
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town.
Do the boys always travel together?
Are you the boys' publicist, or are you just weirdly obsessed with them?
And that time over at Johnny's place, well, this chick got up and she slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't wanna know, forget her.
Sorry, what's funny about a chick slapping Johnny?
If a chick don't wanna know what, why slapping is funny?
Who are you?
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town. Spread the word around. Guess who's back in town?
Is it the boys?
Can't you spread the word? You seem to know the most about the boys.
Why did you walk into our town council meeting and start giving us errands?
Who are these boys?
Friday night they'll be dressed to kill down at Dino's Bar and Grill. The drinks will flow and the blood will spill. And if the boys want to fight, you better let them.
Whoa. Is that a threat?
Why are the boys wearing their best clothes if they know they're getting into a fight?
I don't know much about Dino's. Is it on Yelp?
Why won't you tell us how many boys there are?
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. The boys.
Do you find it hard to be happy for our town, knowing another town is equally sad because the boys just left?
How long are they staying?
So is this going to be like an ongoing pattern of leaving and returning, or?
Will we have to go through this every time? John Munson and the Witnesses, Janie Winterbauer as Phil Lynott of Thin Lizzy, Paul F. Tompkins, Janie Haddad Tompkins, and James McNew of Yola Tango, and me as townspeople.
Honey, this has been the perfect vacation. I told you a cruise would be fun.
Oh, you were right. I love it. I think we needed this for us.
Break out of our routine.
Yeah.
Find the magic again. I hope we get to meet the captain.
Oh, you certainly do.
Oh, my gosh. It's a pleasure to be aboard your ship, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I am a servant to the enchanting crystal waters.
Oh.
Is this your first cruise?
Yes. Today we went snorkeling, and Jimothy here did karaoke.
Fantastic. You know, anything goes on a cruise boat. I mean anything.
What do you mean?
Well, as many free soda refills as you want. Stay in the steam room all day. Or saddle up some dolphins and race them. Then kill them and eat them as steaks.
Are you sure that's legal?
Oh, you naive, beautiful, charming, stupid idiots. We are on maritime law. And the only maritime law there is that there are no maritime laws. You want to shoot blow darts at other passengers? Drop a rare bird in a volcano just to see what happens? Well, that is your prerogative, Bobby Brown.
Do we sign up with you, or?
Goodness, why would we want to do that?
Well, you might not. But the point is, you could. Have two desserts, kickbox the chef. Then, after dinner, let's say we strap knives on some guinea pigs and watch them fight to the death.
That's horrible.
Oh, honey, the captain is a very cultured man. Let's not insult him.
Hey. No, look. Clearly, I misjudged you two as a cool, risk-taking, sexy spy type of couple. I'm very sorry.
No, we could be, couldn't we?
Look, I was just heading over to the Lido deck to hawk loogies and cocktails. Now, you in or out?
No, we're not going anywhere with you.
Mary, we wanted to spice things up in our marriage, and this is an opportunity.
So, please. Ma'am, Joyce or whatever. Please understand, to honor those who came before us, we who serve the sea must honor nautical traditions. So we might dress a dead whale up as a mermaid, have vomit balloon fights, hunt the weaker passengers for sport. It is our way.
Captain, my husband and I would rather just enjoy the moonlight here on deck. Good day, sir.
Okay, we won't play snake tag. Let me get you to a couple of normal drinks and leave you alone, and then you decide if you want to try some panda meat and join me in cutting a lady's hair while she sleeps. It is so much fun!
Not so fast. You're under arrest, Captain.
The Maritime Police!
I thought that there were no laws.
What? There are tons of laws.
Well, I guess now that you say it out loud, it makes a lot more sense.
This man isn't even a captain. He's just a passenger that kidnapped the real captain and has been keeping him in his cabin, forcing him to watch some kind of sick guinea pig knife battle.
It's true. I'm not sure what boats even are. But I've got one thing to say. Anywhere there's a man that seeks adventure, that wants to see how far he can throw a baby sea turtle, buy a military-grade tank,
or make love to butter statues,
that's where I'll be.
All right, pal. you're coming with me.
Oh, and one more thing. Smoke bomb!
I'll see you in the Lido deck of hell!
And just like that, he's gone. Oh, and I think he just drowned.
You know what, honey? I would be open to driving a tank if you want.
Thank you, Mary. And thank you, Captain. Janie Hadad Tompkins as Mary, Paul F. Tompkins as the captain, Ira Kaplan as the cop, and me as Jimothy. And now the Wits Game Show, where we take talented people and make them compete against one another for our own amusement. Yo La Tengo, veteran, versatile rock band capable of meeting any musical challenge. Paul F. Tompkins, star of music videos for Ted Leo and Nick Lowe, as well as performing with Tenacious D, therefore you are a rock and roll guy.
All right.
This week's game is called I Was Into Their Earlier Stuff. I will give you the name of a non-existent band. Paul will give us some history on the band or background on their big hit song. Yo La Tengo will then cover that hit song, a few seconds, a few bars at least, of that band that we have made up. This week, we are also offering the turn the tables option.
Turn the tables!
Either side can announce, I turn the tables, one time during the game, and the two sides must then perform the other's tasks. Are you ready? It doesn't matter. Here we go. Paul F. Tompkins, please give us the story behind the band, Ghost Meat.
The time. The 1990s. Grunge had come and prevailed. Then there was this band. Ghost Meat, offering a more emotional counterpoint to the flannel goings-on of Kurt Cobain and company. Ghost Meat sought to soothe a troubled youth who didn't look good in plaid. They had enormous difficulty fitting in. They were too clean. Fingernails, bright, white, beautiful nail beds. Ghost Meat provided them with a soundtrack to their lives of cleanliness and fear.
All right, Yo La Tengo, over to you. Please play us some of Ghost Meat's hit songs.
Lost in a feeling of downness, stuck in a womb of despair. I'm hating myself, and I'm hating yourself, and I'm hating that I'm hating myself here.
See right there, the final drum pound, the round goes to Yo La Tengo.
I suppose that sounded like Ghost Meat.
I think it did. Paul F. Tompkins, Emu Retreat.
John, I would like to turn the tables.
Turn the tables!
We're turning the tables, everybody. Paul F. Tompkins, you will sing us a song. Yo La Tengo, please tell us the story behind Emu Retreat.
As a lot of people know about our band, we love the music from New Zealand on Flying Nun Records. Emu Retreat, of course, one of the great bands from Flying Nun Records.
Originally called Kiwi Retreat.
That's right.
Relocated to Australia, had a little bit of a problem, renamed themselves Emu Retreat. Huge success.
Four records on Flying Nun, two of them EPs, one of them a one-sided 7-inch, the other an other-sided 7-inch.
Four records in Australia, all on the Seaside label, split single with the Cosmic Psychos, long tour with Celibate Rifles, Tremendous, tremendous time for music in Down Under.
Best known undoubtedly for the song they named after themselves, Emo Retreat.
Emu.
Well, anticipating. Paul, yes, Emu.
Way ahead of their time.
Paul F. Tompkins, how did Emu Retreat's big song go?
Well, I'd like to tell you, John. I think it went a little something like this.
This.
Every time I open my eyes, I see emus, and then I retreat. Every time you open your eyes, you feel emo, and it can't be beat. We gotta get out of here. A nation is bleeding because emus know just what we're needing. It's an emo retreat. That's right, I call it an emo retreat. You better get on both of your feet and beat a retreat from the emo heat.
The round goes to Paul F. Tompkins.
I love that song.
Masterful. He's got a thing with emus. He's a talented emu songsmith. Paul F. Tompkins, please give us the story behind the band French Toast Kiss.
Sure, I will. Remember when everyone was listening to the soundtrack from Amelie? You couldn't go into a coffee shop, a hair salon, a car mechanic, a slaughterhouse without hearing the original score by French Toast Kiss, a band that was made up entirely of adorable anthropomorphized inanimate objects. Who could forget lead singer, a toaster with Google eyes? On the bass, a vacuum cleaner with two attachments. And on drums, everybody's favorite, Broken Umbrella. Without a doubt, everyone's favorite song by French Toast Kiss, Waste Paper Basket Full of Tears.
Yola Tango, please play us Waste Paper Basket Full of Tears.
C'est triste. Say all the French I know. When I smile into a briefcase of laughter. Aujourd'hui, c'est si bon.
C'est si bon.
C'est tout.
Well, folks, the winner of the game is Yola Tango. And once again, Yola Tango.
big news, WITS is hitting the road as KPCC presents WITS at Largo at the Coronet in Los Angeles. We'll be at Largo Saturday, January 11th with Patton Oswalt, Paul F. Tompkins, Amy Mann, and Ellie Kemper. And Sunday, January 12th with Ed Helms, Zach Galifianakis, Keegan-Michael Key, and Sarah Watkins. Tickets are on sale now. Find details at witsradio.org. We're on Twitter, at WITS, and all of our shows are podcasts on iTunes. Check us out. Write a review if you could. A lot of people help make WITS happen, thanks to our broadcast engineers, Rob Byers and Johnny Vince Evans, and our coordinating producer, Hans Buto, and Fitzgerald Theater staff, Tom Campbell, Aaron Cassio, Andrea Ayers, and Dan Zimmerman. WITS is written by me and Ben Acker, Allison Augusty and Lauren McGuire, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, and Mike Fotis. Plus help this week from Damian Fahey, Julia Sharp, and Artie Johan. Our music director is John Munson, and he's joined by The Witnesses, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer. Thanks to our music guest, Yola Tango, and of course, Mr. Paul F. Tompkins. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney, which was created by our guru of staged events, Tony Bowl, senior producer Larissa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now.